House Labor and Commerce will come to order at 9:00. With us today, we have Representative Gardner, Representative Gatto, Representative Book, Representative Newman, Representative Ramers, and myself, Chair Olson. The only item on our agenda today is House Bill 4004, suspending the motor fuel tax. We're going to have a brief presentation from the administration on this bill, but it's my intention just to have it read across, and then we're going to recess until we get a GIA taken care of, and then we'll give this one the proper attention that it deserves. But with us today, we have Randy Roro and Jerry Burnett from the administration. And gentlemen, would you care to tell us about the bill?
Sure. For the record, my name's Jerry Burnett. I'm the Director of Administrative Services for the Department of Revenue. House Bill 4004 suspends the motor fuel tax from August 1, 2008 to August 1, 2009, a period of 12 months. And it suspends taxes on all types of motor fuels. Current law imposes a tax of 8 cents per gallon on fuels for highway use, 5 cents per gallon for fuels for marine use, 4.7% for aviation gas.
Percent or cents?
Or 4.7 cents per gallon, excuse me, for aviation gas, and 3.2 cents per gallon for jet fuel. Governmental entities, including contractors that provide student transportation services, are exempt from these taxes. Total tax collections under the program are approximately $40 million per year. So a suspension of this tax would return this $40 million to the Alaska businesses and individuals who use and sell these motor fuels. And that's really what the bill does.
I'd like the record to reflect we've been joined by Representative Ledoux. Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We must have a department or a cubicle somewhere that keeps the accounting for the collection of these taxes. And I'm curious, if we suspend this, do we have a certain number of personnel that are now available for something else? Or tell me what the downstream effect is of not collecting the taxes.
Okay. Through the chair, Representative Gatto, we have 5.2 personnel that are actively involved approximately in this on an annual basis, the equivalent of 5.2 people. Because highway fuels have to be accounted for and reported to the federal government for federal highway tax purposes, the state has to continue to get reports and report to the federal government of highway used fuels. So we would not, for a suspension of a period of 1 year, we probably wouldn't change the number of people accounting for working on this program.
Representative Booth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Burnett, could you give us on the record the effect of not collecting these taxes? So what exactly are these taxes used for so that we can put this on the record so the public has the availability of recognizing what we've done here?
Okay. Through the chair, Representative Book, in Alaska, we don't have dedicated taxes except for those that existed prior to statehood or are required for federal programs. So for the most part, this money is going to the state general fund. And there is an exception here in the aviation fuel. We share back 60% of that fuel tax that's collected at municipal airports, which is about $150,000 a year. That money, there's an appropriation in the appropriation bill that accompanies this to continue that tax sharing at that amount. We believe that because the state will be receiving in the first quarter, based on prices, that we're getting an amount greater than in surplus, amount greater than all the appropriations that have been asked for in this special session, that the hit to the general fund is not significant.
Follow-up, Mr. Chairman?
Follow-up.
Thank you. In other states, a motor tax is used for highway maintenance, repair, et cetera, et cetera. So because we are unique in our structure, the monies that we utilize are coming out of a non-dedicated fund. Is that what you're telling me? And so therefore, the real difference here is that the difference doesn't come out of anything specific.
To the chair, Representative Book, that's for the most part absolutely correct.
And if I might, the additional page that we have here on the fiscal note addresses that $150,000, which we don't see on the first page, but as a note that will have to come and be appropriated at a further date. Is that correct?
To the chair, Representative Book, provided the legislature agrees that we need to keep the municipalities whole, who are not collecting additional funds as a result of higher oil prices necessarily, then yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Ramos.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. Two questions. Does the suspension of the motor fuels tax in any way jeopardize the matching federal funds?
Through the chair, Representative Ramos, to our knowledge, as long as we are able to continue to account for and have reports of sales of highway taxes to the federal government, then no, it doesn't.
Mr. Chair, if I may, could we ask Ledge Legal to get us an opinion about that to make sure that our people
are... I was just going to do that.
Excellent. And then the second question I have is, in Fairbanks, for instance, Flint Hills, the refiners are in some trouble. They're the only refinery in the United States that refines oil products with oil, as the administration is well aware, through DNR. And secondly, my friends that run service stations have made me aware, you know, individuals, guys that have been there since I was a kid, that are just working stiffs with two or three mechanics and a couple of mechanic bays, have told me how pinched their margins have become. We're just losing a small grocery called Curry's Corner that's been there since I was a boy. It was just in the Daily News Miner last week. What assurance do we have that a suspension of the fuel tax of 4 cents or whatever the amount is on gasoline, is that the consumer is ever going to see it?
Through the chair, Representative Ramos, we're continuing to research that issue, but there is no guarantee per se that the consumer will see a reduction. The only guarantee is that if the tax isn't suspended, they'll continue to pay it. But we are looking at Illinois and Indiana that suspended their gas tax in the year 2000, and the follow-up studies on that are showing that the pass-through rate was between 60% and 80% of the tax savings.
Okay.
And to the chair, if I could add to that just one thing. To the extent that your constituents are being pinched at the retail level, this money would stay in their pocket. If they didn't pass it through, it would stay in their pockets. It would be spent in the Fairbanks economy, and it would be in the private sector economy rather than in the state government coffers. So it would still be a benefit to Alaskans, regardless of whether it was all passed through or 80% passed through.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, though, it might just stay in the pocket of Fred Meyer and Safeway and Tesoro and Chevron and the non-independent dealers who these days make up the vast majority of folks. So there is no guarantee that it can pass through to the consumer. It's just it's a hope. Is that pretty much, it's just a hope?
Through the chair, Representative Ramos, I think I'd say it's more than a hope, because there is the competitive, you know, force of the market, that when you have a number of stations competing and for customers, there is that competitive effect of wanting to draw in more customers by reducing your prices. So, you know, and that was apparently effective in the, you know, previous states, Illinois and Indiana, to the effect of about 60% to 80%.
But it's a hope.
Representative Gatto, followed by Representative Ledoux.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And this follows on Representative Ramirez's idea. What I would hope is on August 1st, the advertised price would just drop 8 cents, but the service stations might say, but it went up 8 cents. So all we're doing is keeping it the same. I mean, we're not able to control that. It just put, it does put the money in the economy. The question I had was, do the feds require, we leverage our money. We collect the tax, we send it to Washington, they send us back $5.77 for a dollar. Is that pretty close?
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, I'm not sure what the exact amount is, but the federal government, it's not relevant whether it's a gas tax that we're collecting and spending on our highways or it's general fund dollars, because the state spends general fund dollars. We don't have a dedicated gas tax like they do in some, in most other states probably. So it wouldn't matter if it was, if it was from any other type of tax collection.
I just didn't know if there was, I'm sorry, I can continue. I didn't know if there was a plan that we had that says we collected $40,000 and we write a check for $40,000 to the feds, they send us back $400,000, or do we send them any money? Or they just collect their federal portion and we don't know what happened to the federal.
To the chair, Representative Gatto, I think someone from DOT could better explain exactly how this works, but with most federal programs, the state actually spends the money on projects in Alaska. The federal government reimburses 90% or whatever percentage it is for reimbursement. So you don't, and that's based on a formula, so that you don't have a situation where the state's collecting X number of dollars and sending it to the feds and getting it back. It's a matter of how much we spend, and it doesn't matter which funding source we spend it from.
Got it. Thank you.
Representative Ledoux.
Just a follow-up on Representative Ramros's question with respect to whether it would be passed on any savings. I mean, that would be the same with any tax, wouldn't it? I mean, if you had a sales tax, for example, and that sales tax went down, a municipal sales tax, you really wouldn't have a guarantee that that's going to be passed on to the consumer. Is would this be any different?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, I don't believe it is different in the sense that there is no guaranteed pass-through. The only guarantee is that if you don't suspend the tax, Alaskans will continue paying, I think, about $3 million a month for it.
And then one further follow-up. If in an area, let's say Fairbanks, for example, if nobody lowered their rates after this tax was suspended, would that be conceivably an indication of anti-competitive activity to put somebody within antitrust scrutiny?
Through the chair, Representative Ledoux, I think that would be an indication. I'm not an antitrust expert, but it certainly sounds like an indication of some agreement or to not, to keep prices at a certain level. But I think the chances are unlikely because some stations are hurting, and they will usually be competitive and try to draw in more customers and compete.
Thank you.
At this point in time, we're going to recess to the call of the chair. I don't anticipate that'll be before the end of next week. We're going to let AGEA work its way through the system before we actually do anything on this bill again, but we'll give everybody as much lead time as we can on the scheduling of the next meeting.